Welcome to Cut and Thrust, your podcast for the bloody and sometimes bizarre journey through the Middle Ages. Whether it's dark battles, questionable hygiene, or hair-raising rulers, here you'll get history as it really was, raw and unfiltered. So grab your sword, put on your helmet, and let's dive into the wild world of the past.
Hello and welcome to a new episode of the Battle Merchant Podcast. I'm Hendrik.
And I'm Carmen. Today we're diving into a topic that's very close to both our hearts, the fascinating world of reenactment.
And I think a lot of people have this vague image in their heads at first. Knights at medieval fairs, perhaps, or Vikings with helmets. But reenactment is actually, how do I explain this best? It's the attempt to relive history as authentically as possible. Not to act it out, but to truly relive it.
It's about historical events, ways of life, entire milieus, not just the appearance, but also how people lived back then, what they ate, what their daily life looked like, what techniques they used in their work.
And there are different branches within it. First, there's historical reenactment, which focuses on specific eras. Then military reenactment, where battles and...
Exactly, they recreate tactics. They reconstruct complete battle formations, from Roman legions to Napoleonic troops. It's truly impressive to see.
And then there's living history. That's less about battles and more about everyday life. Crafts, cooking, the normal life in a particular time period.
What captivated me back then was that moment when I first stood in a historical camp. It wasn't a museum behind glass. People were actually living there that weekend. They made fires, cooked, forged metal, and suddenly history became tangible. I could smell it, hear it, touch it.
That's a good point. Books and documentaries convey knowledge, no question. But when you sit by the fire yourself, in historical clothing, and realize how uncomfortable it can actually be, or how long it takes to prepare a simple meal, then you understand history on a completely different level.
And that's what fundamentally distinguishes reenactments from cosplay or just wearing costumes. With cosplay, it's about portraying a character, often from films or series, and fantasy is perfectly fine. Reenactment has this educational purpose. We want to understand how it really was. Historical accuracy is the key.
The research is a huge part of it. Reenactors spent hours studying historical sources. What materials were used? How were seams made? What colors were even available in a particular era?
And that's the amazing thing. You learn so much in the process. Not just about history, but also about craftsmanship, about materials, about yourself. It's this active exploration that becomes addictive.
What surprises many people, reenactment doesn't just serve entertainment purposes. It has real educational value. Museums work with reenactors. Schools invite groups in to bring history to life.
And for the audience, it's a completely different experience. Imagine not just seeing a chainmail shirt in a display case, but someone showing you how to put it on, how heavy it is, how you move in it. That sticks with you.
What's also special is this.
Exactly, the community. I absolutely had to bring that up. The people you meet at reenactment events share this passion for history. You sit around the campfire in the evening, exchange ideas, learn from each other. These often become lifelong friendships.
Absolutely. A bridge forms between past and present. We bring history into our time and experience it together. And at the same time, we preserve knowledge that would otherwise be lost.
Ancient craft techniques, forgotten recipes, traditional martial arts. Much of this only exists today because reenactors keep it alive.
So if you're wondering why people put so much time and energy into this hobby, it's this unique combination. Hands-on history, constant learning, and a community of like-minded people.
But where does all this actually come from? Reenactment itself has quite a fascinating history.
When we talk about the history of reenactment, we really have to go far back. And I mean far back. The Romans were already doing it.
True. The Romans already had early forms of it.
The Romans staged massive spectacles in their arenas. Gladiator fights, animal hunts, and the famous Naumachii, which were reenacted naval battles. It was primarily entertainment and imperial propaganda to demonstrate the power of Rome. State-organized battle theater, so to speak, but not yet reenactment in the modern sense.
That makes sense. In a society so shaped by military culture, this had enormous propaganda value. The people were meant to feel the power of Rome, and the emperor wanted to display his generosity.
And then, in the Middle Ages, we have tournaments. Everyone knows them from films. But they were more than just sport. It was combat training, status display, and court culture. Sometimes staged as so-called padarm, theatrical performances with themes from Arthurian legend or the Trojan War. But conveying history in the modern sense? That wasn't the point.
What fascinates me about this, even though the purposes back then were completely different, propaganda, displays of power, court culture, there seems to be a timeless human need to connect with the past. Only the way we do it has fundamentally changed.
One of the most important roots of the modern reenactment movement lies in the 19th century, specifically with the American Civil War. In the United States, the great battles were reenacted to commemorate the fallen soldiers.
That had a different character than today. It was primarily about remembrance, mourning, processing grief. The veterans themselves were often still involved. It was very personal and emotional.
From these memorial events, an organized movement gradually developed, with its own rules, standards, groups that came together.
And then Europe got into...
Right, and that's when things really took off. In the 1960s and 70s, reenactment experienced a real surge in Great Britain, and then particularly in Germany from the 80s and 90s onward.
Medieval battles were reenacted and historical camps were set up. This also gave rise to the idea of living history education, where museums and schools began to use this expertise for their educational work.
That was a turning point. Reenactment was no longer perceived just as a hobby, but as an educational tool. It gained a new legitimacy.
I remember what it was like in the early 2000s. There were already specialized groups, but networking was difficult. You had to travel to events to meet like-minded people, wrote letters or made phone calls.
Antiquity, Middle Ages, early modern period, Napoleonic era, World War I, World War II. Suddenly, there were experts for every era who had spent years immersing themselves in their subject.
This specialization has enormously improved the quality. When a group focuses solely on Roman legionaries, they develop deep practical knowledge. This complements academic research perfectly because they can test hypotheses in practice.
And then the internet came along. That...
Absolutely. It changed everything. I still remember when the first forums emerged. Suddenly, you could discuss with reenactors from England or the US. Ask questions, exchange photos, share sources.
It was a revolution. Online forums, then later social media, specialized websites. Knowledge that was previously guarded in small groups suddenly became globally available.
Events could be organized much more easily. If an event is taking place in Poland or France today, you hear about it within hours. In the past, you might never have heard about it.
What impresses me is this development from simple reenactments to a complex, multifaceted movement. the hobby has professionalized without losing its core.
Although quite a bit has changed. 20 years ago, the scene was smaller, more manageable. Today, there are groups for truly every niche. Sometimes people argue more about details than before.
The famous authenticity debates.
But that also shows how seriously it's taken. When people spend hours discussing whether a particular type of stitch is historically accurate, there's real passion behind it. And a lot of research.
The history of reenactment essentially reflects our ongoing need to be connected to the past. Even though the forms have changed, from Roman spectacles to medieval tournaments to deliberate reconstruction today, this core remains. Not just wanting to read about history, but wanting to experience it in some way.
And this connection only truly becomes possible through research and authenticity. That's a good point. As we touched on at the beginning, not all reenactment is the same. Let's take a closer look at these three major categories: historical reenactment, military reenactment, and living history.
The boundaries are often fluid in practice, but the focuses are clearly different.
With historical reenactment, it's about depicting specific eras or ways of life as accurately as possible. This requires intensive research. Clothing, tools, weapons, everyday objects, everything is recreated as true to the original as possible.
The range is enormous. From antiquity with Roman legions, through the Middle Ages to the modern era. Each epoch has its own challenges.
Many people know medieval markets, but there are big differences. From more commercial fairs to carefully curated museum villages where craftspeople genuinely work with historical techniques. At the better events, visitors can truly immerse themselves in a world that no longer exists.
What many underestimate, the question of materials is complex. Certain fabrics simply didn't exist in the Middle Ages. Certain colors were expensive or impossible to produce. An authentic portrayal considers all of this.
And then there's military reenactment. That's more specialized. It's about...
Exactly! Battles, tactics, uniforms. That's really a world of its own. The participants need detailed knowledge of military equipment.
They reenact famous battles. Waterloo, for example. Or Viking combat scenes from the early Middle Ages. Sometimes hundreds of participants come together for these.
The educational value is enormous. When you see how a shield wall formation works, or how difficult it is to fight in full armor, no book conveys that as directly.
With some groups, the authenticity goes down to the smallest detail. The right buttons on the uniform, the correct marching formation, the historically documented commands. It's meticulous work.
And then there's living history. For me personally, that's the, how should I put it, the most immersive form.
For me too. Living history goes beyond just reenacting events. It portrays the everyday life of past times. Crafts, cooking, social structures.
Imagine a historical village. Visitors see how craftspeople work, how bread is baked, how daily life in historical tents or houses.
Exactly. How it's all organized. No electricity, no modern food. Only what existed back then.
And now, a quick word from our sponsor. Feeling curious? Then head over to battlemerchant.com. They've got all sorts of medieval stuff, from costumes to armor and loads more. Totally worth a look.
What does that feel like?
Eye-opening. You only realize how much work used to be needed for things we take for granted today. Making fire, fetching water, preparing food. The whole day was structured around these basic needs.
That's the big difference from the other forms. With military reenactment or classic historical events, it's often about specific moments, a battle, a festival, a market, living history shows the everyday life in between.
And this everyday life is actually the fascinating part. Most people in history didn't fight battles. They lived, worked, raised families. Living history makes this invisible majority visible.
How strict are the rules at such events?
That varies. Some groups are very strict. No modern materials, no visible glasses, only historically documented foods. Others are more relaxed and see it more as an approximation.
This sometimes leads to discussions within the scene. How authentic does it have to be? Where are compromises okay?
I think both have their place. The very strict groups provide important insights for research. The more relaxed ones make the hobby more accessible for beginners.
What often happens in practice, an event combines all three categories. There's a battle reenactment for the military faction, a market for historical reenactment, and next to it, a camp where living history is practiced.
This mix works well. You can experience different aspects depending on your interest, and the groups learn from each other.
What unites all three forms? The aspiration not just to show history, but to make it experiential. Whether through a reenacted battle, an authentic market, or immersion in everyday life.
Absolutely, books and films can convey a lot. But this practical experience, for example, feeling how a hand-woven wool fabric reacts in the rain, or how laborious cooking over an open fire is, that creates a completely different level of understanding.
And that's exactly what makes reenactment so valuable. It bridges the gap between knowledge and experience.
Research is the foundation of everything. Without thorough research, it would be impossible to achieve a credible portrayal. That's what distinguishes reenactment from mere dressing up.
The availability of sources is crucial. There are primary sources, historical documents, letters, diaries, preserved artifacts. They offer direct insights into the past.
And then secondary sources, history books, academic articles, expert analyses. They help to contextualize and interpret the primary sources.
Archaeological finds are particularly valuable. They provide physical evidence. When you hold a sword from the 13th century in your hands, or at least study photos of it, you understand proportions and weight in a completely different way.
For me, museums are one of the most important resources. There you see well-preserved original pieces. You can study details that often get lost in books. The color of a fabric, the wear on a tool, the patina on metal.
How do you approach starting a new project?
First, I look at what primary sources even exist. For some eras, sources are scarce. For others, overwhelming. Then I work through the secondary literature to understand the state of research. And then comes the difficult part.
Comparing it with reality?
Between perfection and feasibility, there's often a gap. You know exactly what something looked like historically, but the materials are no longer available, or the techniques have been lost, or it would take years and cost a fortune.
You have to find compromises. The question is always, how close can I get to the original without getting lost in the weeds?
Modern technologies help enormously. Digital archives make sources accessible that used to only be found in specialized libraries. I can study medieval manuscripts from home or...
Or even view 3D models of archaeological finds. That's fantastic. You can look at objects from all sides, zoom in on details you would never see otherwise.
Virtual reconstructions of entire buildings.
That helps immensely in visualizing spatial relationships.
And then the exchange within the community. That's perhaps the most valuable thing of all. This collective treasure of knowledge that has grown over years.
This digital networking is one side of it. But of course, it can't replace direct personal exchange.
At events, there's direct exchange. Someone shows you a technique you never would have learned from books, or points you to a source you overlooked.
This sharing is part of the culture. Most reenactors are happy to pass on their knowledge because they know how difficult getting started can be and because it helps everyone when the overall standard improves.
Historical accuracy is the heart of it all. But it's not about perfection for its own sake. It's about doing justice to the past, showing respect for the people who lived back then through a careful portrayal.
In the end, reenactment is more than...
Exactly. It's so much more than just a hobby. It's a passion. A way to not just study history, but to experience it.
A passion that brings people together. From all professions, all age groups. United by this fascination with the past.
And if you've become curious now, getting started is easier than many think. There are open groups, beginner events, helpful people everywhere.
At battlemerchant.com, you'll find not only authentic equipment for getting started, but also plenty of background knowledge about various eras and topics on our blog.
And that brings us to the end of our episode. Thank you so much for listening.
We hope we were able to give you an insight into this fascinating world. Experiencing history alive? That's reenactment.
Until next time.
Bye.
And so we ride towards the end of this episode. Keep your swords sharp and your mugs full. We'll catch you in the next one.